Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Ukraine's president has said he hopes the US will take strong steps against Russia if Moscow fails to support a 30-day ceasefire. President Zelensky said this afternoon that Ukraine will not recognize any territories occupied by Russia, describing the stance as our main red lines in any future peace talks with Russia. Also earlier today, US Secretary of State Marco Rubio, on his way home from the talks in Saudi Arabia, addressed media in Shannon Airport, saying the ball is now in Russia's court.
Both sides have to come to the table. We are happy. We are happy that the Ukrainians have agreed to do so. Now it is up to Russia to say yes. If Russia says yes, that's very good news, and we will begin that process and do everything we can to move that process forward. If they say no, then obviously we'll have to examine everything and sort of figure out where we stand in the world and what their true intentions are. I think it'll be, if they say no, it'll tell us a lot about what their goals are and what their mindset is.
That's Marco Rubio at Shannon Airport for the latest. I'm joined now by Ukraine MP Maria Mezentseva. Maria, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you for having me. Good evening from Kiev.
So the US Secretary of State saying there it's up to Russia now to say yes. Do you think they will?
I really doubt with regards to the previous reactions we've been hearing on the suggested ceasefire for at least 30 days with, of course, obvious reason for the both sides to agree. Supported by the US, I think that was rejected immediately via different channels. It was communicated non-officially, but I'm sure the position is that Russia will not accept it. Even if they will, the posed question should be, how do we guarantee, monitor and secure the ceasefire? We've been through this for 11 years when the international organizations such as OSCE, which Russia is, by the way, still the part of, it hasn't been expelled regardless of the full-scale aggression. We haven't had, we've been reading monitors. Okay, the ceasefire was breached 27 times during the last 24 hours in Donetsk region. It was bringing only disaster, destructions, and hopelessness because monitoring missions were not able to secure
Need whatever deal is agreed, you need it monitored and you need the security guarantee
so.
As well.
So
if I were to ask you then about what Donald Trump said today, that talks between Russia and the US are due to get underway, and the expectation that White House Middle East envoy and close Trump ally Steve Witkoff, that he's expected to travel to Moscow this week for a meeting with the Russian leader, though the Kremlin hasn't yet confirmed that. Is that something you'd be hopeful about, Maria, or would you be wary of that?
Just during the last 24 hours, Russia attacked my home city, Kharkiv. It attacked Kiev, Odessa, Kryvyi Rih, and many other regions. So doesn't it give us a feeling that there is no willingness for peace? And it's very obvious. If Russia would agree to this ceasefire and then, and more major things are rolling on, like, for instance, something we've discussed with you in our previous interview and something which touches the hearts of thousands of Ukrainian families. This is the missing persons in captivity, civilians and military personnel both, and illegally deported 19,000 Ukrainian children. So are they willing to really proceed? We can do the swap all for all. We can't actually swap civilians because it's illegal to take them hostages according to Geneva Conventions, but Russians still do. So I think there are very good proposals in this one-page document agreed yesterday by Ukrainian and US representatives. The two delegations had a nine-hour meeting to do that. So indeed, I'm very on the statement of Mr. Rubio, the ball or the chessboard or the next move is on the Russian side, not vice versa.
And the Kremlin will have to decide now whether to accede or agree to this 30-day truce and talks Or
absolutely.
Could they be tempted, Maria, to fight on because of gains they're making in
Kursk?
Of course.
Russia doesn't want any peace. Russia doesn't intend to deal only with, as they call it, Ukrainian issue. Well, actually, the full-scale aggression against us. Russia is intending to invade more European states, more independent sovereign states to expand this war. What they are willing to do is one thing. What they are capable of is a war which can last for them around 8-9 months because they are in recession. They're in a very deep, they have very deep-rooted problems in economy. Their rates, the loan rates are very high. Everything is going really down. So they spend 48% of their budget to maintain this war. And I don't think, you know, Russians are not aware of what's really happening. So I think the very good news which came from yesterday is the continuation of military aid from our allies, the continuation of the exchange of intelligence information, and currently.
So that was a big U-turn from the US, and that was received very positively by Kyiv for sure. But also, the way the result of the meeting yesterday was framed by the US side, if Russia accept the truce, that would be a good thing. They say if they don't, then we might know who the obstacle to peace is. I mean, that is...
And this is Russia.
Yeah, and that's what they're saying. So do you feel you've won back US support here?
I think we haven't lost it because we haven't lost the hearts of the voters who voted actually for the officials we're dealing with today. And I think the people of America, the negotiating team has actually saw, as Mr. Trump would say, the cards. Yeah. So who has the cards now? It's on the Russian side to answer back. Are you really willing to proceed with peace? But I've heard and I've read this, you know, terrible statements that Putin said, that we're not claiming anything which is not ours. So stating that the four regions that they enshrined in their constitution illegally are their lands. I mean, absolutely ridiculous to say, but that's what we have to deal with. That's what the international law has to respond to. So I assume there will be more sanctions, more pressure, less cooperation in technology, more sanction on oil and gas industries, and we have to deal with the grey fleet, you know?
Okay, so I have two questions for you. One is on that, on the lands that are, for want of a better phrase, that Russia feels are theirs. I mean, where would the compromise, if any, come from the Ukraine? Could there be, there are some rumours or speculation about, leaving it to diplomacy in the longer term. Could that happen in any settled agreements?
I don't know currently how can we re-estate better than it is right now. President Zelensky already said it so many times, I think a zillion times, pardon for not being very diplomatic, but we will never recognize the temporarily occupied territories as Russians once. They were calling my home city Kharkiv as a Russian city. They were trying to conquer it in one day. They failed big time. The most successful counteroffensive operation of the 21st century occurred in Kharkiv region, and it was done within 48 hours by our brave army liberating the largest piece of territory, which is not just territory for us. It's also the people, their lives, mm-hmm. their homes, and their stories.
But if the US asks you for a compromise, what would it be?
I don't know yet. Let's see what would be the Russian answer to this first positioned statements. What their requirements are. They're all illegal, of course. But I think the unity is very crucial here. The unity of Europe, the US to be on board, and of course, a strong position of Ukraine backed by the whole nation, by every soldier, every business person, every medical worker, doctor, teacher, etc. So I think this is the reality we're facing right now,
okay.
the unity reality.
So if there is to be an agreement, one of the key points from the Ukraine side is to have a security guarantee, as you say, and other Ukraine politicians we've spoken with, that if it were to be broken by Russia, that the US and NATO would be allowed to step in. What happens if Russia, or what happens if the US doesn't give that US security guarantee? Do you have faith in the European Union to do its bit?
We reckon also on our European partners. We highly salute the recent decision of European Commission, which is called Rearm Europe, with the budget of around 800 billion euros to be collected. Of course, half of this money are still absent because it was just announced, which means many member states have to increase or even double their budgets for defense and security, cooperate in terms of production. We have such alliances as F-16 Alliance, Falcon, Jet. We have alliance on drones, which is the new reality of this warfare. And we are the most experienced probably in the world in terms of conducting the war with drone regiments currently. So I think the perspective is realistic. Speaking with different partners within the last week who visited Kiev directly conducting conversation with us parliamentarians, I'm seeing is willingness, and the parliamentarians will be also pushing their governments together with the people, because it is a concern for all of us. Mm-hmm. And we also thankful to Ireland for supporting us with non-lethal weapons and many other things that can't be, you know, calculated just with money, is the support to the mm-hmm. temporary relocated persons who are still residing in Ireland as their second home.
Okay, Maria Mezentseva, Ukraine MP, thank you very much indeed for joining us in the program.